Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. It's our fall membership drive. More about that in a moment. Ohio State sits atop the college football rankings, where it's been for most of the season. But can it reverse a four-year losing streak to Michigan? This is a different Buckeye team than the roster of veterans who stuck around to win the 2024 national title. This year's squad is largely a new cast, like quarterback Julian Sayin, a redshirt freshman, and a true freshman running back Bo Jackson. Here to talk about all things Buckeyes is longtime sports journalist Bill Rabinowitz. After a 25-year career at the Columbus Dispatch, he now writes on Substack, a subscriber-based platform. And he's written several books about Ohio State football. His latest is titled Buckeye Brotherhood, How Ohio State Navigated a New World to Win a National Championship. And it's a brand new book, so new, in fact, that it's out today. Welcome to All Sides, Bill.
Thank you, Amy. Nice to be here.
So congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
Full disclosure, you are the husband of All Sides producer Aaron Esmont Rabinowitz.
That is correct.
All right. So your book is called Buckeye Brotherhood. But I wanted to start, we'll talk about all the brotherhood and all those players from last year. But I wanted to start with a subtitle. The subtitle is How Ohio State Navigated a New World to Win a National Championship. Tell me what you mean by new world.
Yeah, well, since Ohio State won the national championship in 2014, NIL was established, name, image, and likeness, so players could make money off of who they are. Mm-hmm. And that creates opportunities for players and challenges for programs. How do you retain players? How do you attract players when, let's say, a player at Ohio State could go somewhere else and maybe make more money? Because that's just the nature of college football these days. And also, it helped Ohio State. It made it possible for Ohio State to win the national championship because they expanded the playoff from four teams to 12 teams. Mm. If they had not expanded the playoff, Ohio State would have not gotten in. And it would have been another disappointing season here in Columbus.
Yeah, that was a big expansion from 4 to 12.
Yes.
I mean, it made the season longer and more involved. But also, so there was NIL, and then there's also the transfer portal.
The transfer portal, right. I mean, back then, you had to wait a year, essentially, unless you were a graduate. And now you could, I mean, they've changed the rules since then. Now there's going to be one transfer portal window in January. But before, you know, you had to have enough NIL opportunities for players to stay, but you also knew they could leave. So it made roster management very difficult. But it also gave Ohio State opportunities to add players, and they wouldn't have won the national championship if they hadn't added Will Howard, Caleb Downs, Quinshon Judkins, and Seth McLaughlin, all, you know, incredibly important players that they got from other schools.
Now, speaking of NIL, Jameer Brown is an Ohio State committed player from the Dayton area, and he's one of the top high school prospects in the country, and he wants to be able to make name, image, and likeness deals as a high school student. So his family sued on his behalf, and then a Franklin County judge ruled this week in Brown's favor, granting a temporary restraining order. It nullifies the Ohio High School Athletic Association's ban on such deals. Can you tell me about this whole... I mean, NIL is new to college, but now we're talking high school students, too. What do you make of that?
Yeah, well, I'm no lawyer, so I'm not going to say that I know the law. But just like college players, it was ultimately deemed by the courts that they couldn't infringe on their ability to make money off of who they are. Well, the same should apply to high school students. If people remember Quinn Ewers, the Texas quarterback who Jack Sawyer sacked for that famous play last year, he was originally at Ohio State, and he came to Ohio State from Texas because Texas wouldn't allow him as a high school senior to make money off of NIL. So he enrolled early at Ohio State, only stayed a semester, and ended up going back to Texas. So this has been an issue for several years. But now the courts are saying, at least temporarily, that yes, you can, as a high school student, also make money off of who you are.
I wonder if you would have to already be committed to a college to make the money, or is it just if you're good enough to get an NIL deal as a high school student, then colleges are looking at you?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking with longtime sports journalist Bill Rabinowitz. And after a 25-year career at the Columbus Dispatch, he now writes on Substack. And his brand new book is titled Buckeye Brotherhood, How Ohio State Navigated a New World to Win a National Championship. And this is our membership drive today. Thank you for joining us. You can become a member when you give right now. This is listener-supported public radio. Support this station with a gift when you give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. When you give $20 a month as a sustainer, you can get two tickets to a behind-the-scenes tour of Ohio Stadium. This is a VIP tour just for WOSU members. Have you ever wanted to see what happens behind the scenes at the stadium? Well, now's your chance. This tour that we're hosting is on Wednesday, November 5th at 5 o'clock, and you'll get a copy of the brand new book, The Buckeye Brotherhood, which is written by our guest today, Bill Rabinowitz. So make that gift of $20 a month, and you can secure your spot on this special stadium tour. It's for you and a guest, so you get two tickets for the tour. It's November 5th, and you'll get a copy of Bill's book. So that is $20 a month as a sustaining member, or a one-time gift of $240 when you give at WOSU.org or when you call 866-897-9678. Can't make it for the tour? We'll make a gift of $10 a month and get the book, Buckeye Brotherhood. This book tells the story of the 2024 season and the path that took them all the way to the national championship. So you can join us for the stadium tour, and you can get the book, or you can get the book by itself. But when you join us for the stadium tour, you are going to walk on the sidelines where Woody once roamed and stand on the field where Archie made history. The VIP tour is 90 minutes and includes access to the band center and the home locker room, so you don't want to miss this. Again, that's $20, a monthly gift of $20. You'll get two tickets for the tour, plus Bill's new book about the incredible 2024 national championship season. Join us right now at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. All right, Bill, let's talk about this current season for a few minutes. Ohio State is undefeated, one of the few top programs to do so. If not, are they the only one?
They're the only one that's kind of the traditional power, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then what are some of the upsets this season that have surprised you when you're looking at the whole picture of the, you know, the rankings?
Right. I think the biggest shock is that Penn State has collapsed. When they lost to Oregon in overtime, okay, you know, that's a disappointing loss. But when they went on the road and lost to UCLA, which hadn't even led in any game so far this season, that was a shock. Then they lost to Northwestern, which cost James Franklin his job. Alabama lost to Florida State, which has turned out to be a terrible team. I think that was in the opener. All these teams have fallen by the wayside. Obviously, Texas lost to Ohio State. They were number one at the time. It's chaos in college football. I mean, Indiana, I mean, it's proving that last year was no fluke. I mean, they're number two in the country. Vanderbilt, which was long the laughingstock of the SEC, is number 10. Georgia Tech is, I think, number 7. It's kind of crazy. But Ohio State just stands alone. It's kind of amazing.
Now, no one really expected this. I mean, they have a whole new slew of players. This is a new young team, right?
It is, but you know, Ohio State is a program that reloads and doesn't rebuild. They have reached that status. They've honestly always been that way. So there are a lot of expectations for this year's team, not as high as last year's because people understood you have a new quarterback, you have a new, I mean, you know, I think they lost 8 starters on defense, and then depending on how you characterize an offense, there's a lot of part-time guys. You know, they lost a lot of guys on offense too. So people thought they'd be good, but figured there'd be growing pains. You know, having to open with Texas was going to be a tough one. You didn't know who the quarterback was going to be and if he'd be ready. So they've passed really every test they've had.
Yeah, out of the gate, they beat Texas at home, and that wasn't a sure thing, right?
No, not at all.
And then Washington provided a little bit of drama, but Ohio State still, yeah.
Yeah, they haven't won by fewer than 18 points since the opener. They're holding opponents to, I forget what the number is, like less than six points a game or something like that.
Now, the toughest game, arguably, mentally, still remains.
Right.
Talk to me about Michigan. What is going on? What do they talk about?
The jinx, you mean?
Yeah, the jinx.
Well,
I know. When I read, I hadn't even realized it was 4 times in a row that they lost to Michigan. In my head, I thought it was 3. Couldn't possibly be 4. What is going on?
Yeah, well, there are lots of ways to explain it. The way I look at it is, first of all, in 21 and 22, which is when the Ohio State's dominance ended against Michigan, they benefited from cheating. I mean, Connor Stallions was on the staff. He was, I mean, I do talk about this in the book. Well, actually, Ryan Day talks about it in the book. He hasn't really talked about it, as far as I know, to anybody else. So, you know, if you want to know what Ryan Day thinks about that whole thing, it's in the book. But it helps if you, you know, to use a baseball analogy, if you know what pitch is coming, it's a lot easier to hit it. And so that's partially explains those two losses. Not entirely. Ohio State still had breakdowns and you know, had chances to win. 23, that's the best Michigan team they've had in modern history. That team won the national championship, and Ohio State went toe-to-toe with them. It could have gone either way. Last year's was inexcusable and inexplicable, but I hopefully, if you read the chapters on Michigan, it's more understandable. Will Howard was not himself after taking a shot in the first half. They had a couple of offensive linemen that were probably shouldn't have been playing. They ran into the teeth of Michigan's defense. I mean, that was a stunning loss. There's no question, because Michigan wasn't very good. They had no offense. They did have a pretty good defense. So, and Ohio State missed two field goals. Everything that could go wrong to allow Michigan to have a chance to win that game happened. And Michigan had like one path to win the game, and they followed that one path.
All right. So what? When, I'm going to make you predict the future. What's going to happen?
You know, Michigan's still not great. They're better because they have a competent quarterback this year, although he is a freshman, and Matt Patricia, the Ohio State's new defensive coordinator, is probably going to try to, you know, toy with him or play with his mind. I think Ohio State will win, but, you know, I've learned, you know, look, it's 4 years in a row, and yes, even with the extenuating circumstances, it's 4 years in a row. So I think the psychological thing is real. I do think Ohio State's better. If they can get their run game improved, that's the only thing that's kind of not clicking entirely. If they can get that going, then they're going to be really hard to beat no matter who they play or where they play.
All right. Well, we'll talk about how that Michigan loss kind of led them to the national championship. They might not have won the national championship.
There's
right?
no way to know that, right?
Yeah.
It didn't happen, so there's no way to know. But I certainly asked that question. And what people have told me, coaches and players, is it galvanized them. Could they have done what they did in the playoffs? Sure, they could have, because they did it. But I'm not sure they would have had the kind of desperate mind. If they didn't win the playoff last year, that season would have been a failure. They didn't beat Michigan. They didn't have a chance to win the Big Ten. They haven't won the Big Ten since 2020. And if they had lost the playoff, boy, it would have been bad.
Yeah, your Michigan chapter in the book discusses the aftermath of the loss in this team meeting that gets really heated. And you kind of, I mean, no one else was in the room. It was Ryan Day and the players,
right.
But you talk to people about it and kind of, so I don't want to give away everything,
sure.
But like, tell me a little bit about what happened. That team meeting is kind of what changed everything.
Yeah. So Ryan Day met on the Monday after the Michigan game with the leadership council, about 20 or so players. And they decided after that meeting, we really should have everybody in there. Mm-hmm. Just no other coach except Ryan Day and all the players. So that Tuesday, they met, and they just unburdened themselves. The first player to really kind of start it was Mitchell Melton, who was a backup defensive end who had gone through two knee surgeries, and just was like, what happened? What were you thinking running the ball, you know, constantly running the ball against Michigan? And it just kind of went from there, and it got very heated but very candid. It was, I think Jack Sawyer said at the beginning of the meeting, nothing you say is going to be held against you. We just need to let it all out there, deal with the issues.
It was like a giant therapy session
without
a therapist.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And Ryan Day challenged the players. Well, if you hadn't missed two field goals, if you hadn't done this, if you hadn't done that, you know, you can't pin it on us either. You've got to make the plays. And you know, it's funny, I told the players that I talked about, I said, you know, why didn't one of you just tape the meeting? It would have been so much easier if you just give me the tape recorder and let me write it. So I had to piece it together over a month, you know, as I talked to more than 50 people for this book. And but yeah, that was basically it, that they felt like, you know, like one team entered that room and a different team left it, because they really felt like they were together and that they were ready to make their moves. They knew all we've got left is the playoff. And yes, you know, we're depressed and we're angry. Let's take it out of them.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. This hour is about Buckeye football. Thanks for joining us for our membership drive. We're offering a scarlet and gray thank you gift that's perfect for the OSU fan in your life. For $20 a month as a sustainer, you and a guest will join WOSU for a VIP tour of Ohio Stadium. And you'll receive a copy of the brand new book, Buckeye Brotherhood, How Ohio State Navigated a New World to Win a National Championship. This brand new book is about last year's National Championship season and is written by our guest today, Bill Rabinowitz. Join us on November 5th at 5 for a fun and exciting tour. Don't miss this one-of-a-kind experience. And this is a private tour just for WOSU members. Since the stadium opened in 1922, the Shoe has been an icon in Columbus, and taking this tour is a must for any Buckeye fan who also happens to be a fan of public radio. For your gift of $20 a month right now, or a one-time gift of $240, you'll get two tickets for the tour. Bring the football fanatic in your life. Bring a friend. Bring your sibling. Maybe your kid who aspires to be a Buckeye in the future. Give now and join us at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Plus, when you go on the stadium tour, you're also going to get a copy of Bill's brand new book. If you can't make it to the event but still love the Buckeyes and that amazing championship season last year, give $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 and you'll get a copy of the book Buckeye Brotherhood. This book was written by longtime Ohio State football journalist Bill Rabinowitz, our guest today. And this book gives readers a behind-the-curtain look at the 2024 season. He got interviews with players, coaches, family members, and more. He even got some insights into that infamous and legendary player meeting between Ryan Day and the players after the Michigan loss, the meeting that changed everything. So give $10 a month and get this book, and you'll be supporting public radio as well. It's a win-win. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And remember that listener support is the most important part of our budget. 89.7 NPR News counts on listeners like you to give during these membership drives. In return, we bring you news and information that you can trust. All Sides is here for you every morning at 10 to talk about Central Ohio. We have in-depth, thoughtful conversations, and we're able to do that because of listener support. Give right now at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to Laura Bolte from Columbus. Thanks, Laura, for your gift today. And we are talking to longtime sports journalist Bill Rabinowitz. After a 25-year career at the Columbus Dispatch, he now writes on Substack. Bill, tell me about this transition for you. How's it going? How's your Substack?
It's good. It's Bill Rabinowitz, just my name, R-A-B-I-N-O-W-I-T-Z, .substack.com. I left the Dispatch because Gannett offered a buyout, and I'd been there 26 years or so, and so the severance based on seniority was pretty good. And I just thought this was a good time to make that transition. So also just about the fundraiser, I certainly hope people go. I'm happy to sign books. I will try to be there at the beginning of it. I've still got to go to Ohio State for interviews that night. But happy to sign books for people there and personalize them.
Well, great. Yeah. So you got to come on the tour and then you can meet Bill for a few minutes and get your book. And for your Substack, people can subscribe to it. Is that right?
Yes. You can subscribe for free, but I really hope people will pay for an annual subscription or even a monthly subscription. I mean, I'm not employed by the Dispatch anymore, so that's my income. So I would appreciate it.
So how is your Substack different than what you wrote for the Dispatch? Like, do you have a little more free reign to write what you want?
Yeah, I do. I can write with a little bit more opinion maybe, or kind of do more offbeat stuff because I'm the boss. So which is kind of a weird thing I'm coming to terms with. I wake up in the morning, what's my boss going to ask me to do? Oh, it's me, other than Aaron.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I do podcasts still. I say I do everything that I used to do with the Dispatch, except now I can do more and I can do it kind of the way I want to do it. Not that I couldn't with the Dispatch, but I'm ultimately the boss. And so, it's a little bit liberating, or gives me a little more freedom to write.
Are you going to stick with Buckeye football or are you going to expand?
Primarily Ohio State football. But for example, I went to the Blue Jackets thing last week with Cam Atkinson, who was retiring as a Blue Jacket, and I'd done some stuff on Cam a little bit, just filling in, and so I went to that and wrote a story about Cam Atkinson. I wrote when Ohio State's former doubles tennis team made it to the U.S. Open semifinals, which is just crazy to think that they did that. I wrote a story on them and their journey. So if there's a great story, I'll write it. I don't care what it's about.
All right. I want to get back to Buckeye Brotherhood, your new book, a little bit. You had some in-depth conversations with Coach Ryan Day.
Right.
He has the highest winning percentage in college football history. It might surprise some listeners, you know, given that the team has four consecutive losses to Michigan under his leadership, but he's doing all right, right?
Yeah.
And how has Coach Ryan Day compiled such an impressive, like, list of history making wins, I guess, minus the Michigan part?
Well, for one thing, he is fortunate to coach at Ohio State with the foundation that Ohio State has. He took over a strong program from Urban Meyer. Ohio State is the only program in college football history to never have an extended dip. I say this all the time. The last time Ohio State had consecutive losing seasons was 1922 to 24.
Oh, when they built the new stadium.
Right, right. That's it. And so you think about every other program, Alabama, Michigan, USC, Texas, Oklahoma, go down the list. Mm. They've all had periods where maybe they hired the wrong coach, or they had injuries. I mean, lots of things can happen. But Ohio State's had the occasional losing season, but never two in a row. I did it, one of my last stories with the Dispatch was on that, how Ohio State has been so consistently great. So it's still online. I encourage people to go find it.
Well, and your book also offers a comprehensive look at Ryan Day's life from his early years, ups and downs of coaching. I mean, you get into a lot with him. Was it hard to get a cooperation from him? I don't think he's known for long interviews.
No, he was great. Actually, it was funny because toward the end of last year, he would start to say in press conferences or other things, if we don't win at all, nobody will tell our story.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, I don't even know if he knew that I'd written other books or if he wasn't certainly directing at me specifically. But I thought,
he was calling you out and saying, write about this.
Not really. I don't know. He wasn't. But I just thought, well, if they do win it, I will write it. So at one point during the playoff, I did tell him that if you guys do win it, I will do it. But I need your cooperation. And he said, sure. And I start the book with the seminal moment in his life, which is his father's suicide. And I had mixed feelings about doing that. I didn't want to kind of be sensational about it. But then I kind of realized, and I did talk to Ryan about it, that is the moment. I mean, he was 8 years old, and one day his father's gone. And he's got two younger brothers, and he's the man of the house at age eight.
Oh.
And that shaped him, in the most basic ways. He had to grow up fast. He had to grow up right away and have to deal with the trauma of what had happened. And back then, people didn't go to therapy. He went a couple times, just kind of a perfunctory thing. Not a systematic, let's really get to the root of how you're feeling. It was just, so he had to handle all that as a young boy, help raise his brothers. And sports became his outlet. He played really hard. He would get into fights. It's just, that was his thing. Whatever frustrations I have in my life, I'm going to take it out on the football field or the basketball court or whatever it would be.
And you had some access to his inner circle, too. You also interviewed his wife, his kids.
His wife, his brother.
Oldest kid, right?
Yeah. R.J. Day, who was really, really good.
Is he still in high school?
He's a junior.
Okay.
And, I was reluctant to even ask to talk to R.J. because he's a kid.
Yeah.
And so I talked to Nina, and Nina said, let me ask R.J., and R.J. was willing to do it. And he was great. I mean, he talked about what it's like to be a 16-year-old young man and have to face all the vitriol he did for something he had nothing to do with. I mean, he wasn't the coach. He's just the coach's son. And so what happened after the Michigan game in particular was just really,
after
really
the
hard.
The fourth Michigan
after
game.
After the fourth, right. Mm-hmm. And people took it out on him, which is really, really sad and wrong, of course. But it just like Ryan had to grow up fast, RJ and the Day kids have had to grow up fast, too.
Mm. Yeah, he has three kids, right?
That's right, two daughters. Yep.
Yeah, so you also you allude to when they win the national championship, the day of the national championship is kind of a poignant moment. Can you talk about that?
That was the anniversary of his father's suicide.
Was it January 20th.
And he knew it. He tried to put it out of his mind. Mm. It's like he's got a game to prepare for and a game to coach. So, but you can't help but remember that date. Mm. And so it kind of popped into his head every now and then, which made the whole night kind of even more poignant and surreal, because I'm sure Jeremy 20th every other year of his life was a tough day. And here it was, the national championship.
Well, you can read more about that, very emotional, in Buckeye Brotherhood, How Ohio State Navigated a New World to Win a National Championship. That's the brand new book by longtime sports journalist Bill Rabinowitz. You're listening to All Sides. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. This is our membership drive. Support the in-depth conversations we bring you every day. You're only going to find this kind of news and information, an in-depth, hour-long radio program. You're only going to find it on public radio. So support this station, support shows like All Sides at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to Richard Andre Canick. He's from Columbus. Thanks, Richard, for your gift of support. And this is a special hour to become a member because we have a great thank you gift. $20 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $240, you will get two tickets for a VIP tour of Ohio Stadium. This tour is exclusive just for WOSU members. You can only get tickets on this tour by becoming a member right now. So you and a guest will be able to come on the tour, or you can give them as a gift to someone. Don't miss this chance. We have a limited number of tickets, so if you want to attend, make that gift right now, a monthly gift of $20. Join public radio members and fans of All Sides for a behind-the-scenes tour of Ohio Stadium. And this tour includes special access to the band center and the home locker room. You will be up close and personal with the sidelines where Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel called plays, where Archie Griffin set the school's single game rushing record. You'll stand on the field where Jack Sawyer, Will Howard, and Cameron Hayward all played. You see what I did there, Bill? Three Pittsburgh Steelers, right?
Oh, impressive.
Yeah, I'm a Steelers fan. I got to get that in there when I can.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. All right. This tour is a must for anyone who loves Buckeye football and loves public radio. So support this program that you love, and you'll get some awesome experiences with this tour. It's a win-win. So don't wait. Give now. Plus, the tour includes a copy of Bill's brand new book, Buckeye Brotherhood, How Ohio State Navigated a New World to Win a National Championship. Author Bill Rabinowitz is our guest this hour, and Bill truly got some great interviews for this book. He talked to players and coaches and family members about their experiences as they navigated an historic football season made more complicated by NIL, the transfer portal, and really high expectations. Get tickets to the tour and get the book and support public radio at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. And again, the tour is Wednesday, November 5th at 5. If you can't make the tour, but you still want to support All Sides this hour, make a gift of $10 a month and get the book as your thank you gift. $10 a month for the book or a one-time gift of $120. Support public radio now, WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Thanks to Susan Logan from Delaware. Thank you, Susan, for joining us today. So, Bill, this is not your first book about Ohio State winning a championship season. You wrote the book The Chase in 2014. It's about the 2014 championship season with Urban Meyer coaching the team. And, by the way, Urban Meyer wrote the foreword for your new book.
He did.
Right?
Very fortunate to have him.
Did you ask him to do that?
Ask him to do that.
So when you look at those seasons, 10 years apart from one another, are there similarities? Are there differences? Are those two teams very different?
Yeah, they are. And it said, obviously, 2014 was pre-NIL and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I remember thinking after writing that book, The Chase, that I will never have a story that could even come close to that one. Mm-hmm. Third string quarterback, the team had to deal with a suicide of, mm-hmm. of a teammate. Mm-hmm. The first college football playoff. I thought nothing could ever top this story. And so I kind of even didn't even think about writing books. If the Ohio State was in contention toward the end of the year, I knew that would be a question. But in my mind, I was like, nothing could top that. Yeah. Well, then last year happened.
Yeah.
And you have two losses, especially the Michigan one. And I also knew that nobody had ever really told the Ryan Day story. At one point during one of my interviews with him, I just asked, I said, anyone like done a magazine profile on you? He said, no. I was like, really? Mm-hmm. I mean, and part of it is he's been reluctant to talk about his father and all that stuff. I mean, he has become much more open about it because of the mental health initiatives that he and Nina have done. But it's still, that's a very hard topic. And so I'm fortunate and grateful that he did open up to me about what that was like. And I obviously, I talked to Nina, I talked to his brother about it, and his brother became a detective and looked up the file of her, of his father. And there was really not much. It was pictures and like a couple paragraphs. So to this day, it remains a largely a mystery, even to the Day family, what happened. Not what happened, but why, you know, what caused his father to do that. And so, you know, the combination of being able to tell Ryan Day's story and all the stories of the players. I mean, Jack Sawyer had quite a journey, too. I mean, he comes in as a five-star guy from Pickerington. A lot of pressure on a local five-star guy, and was fine. He had a, you know, solid career, then took off as a junior, had a really good second half of the season. And then his senior year, the players who came back told Mickey Baratta, the strength coach, make this as hard as you could possibly make it for us. Don't cut us any slack with anything. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay, fine. Well, Jack Sawyer was late, 1 minute late to a workout in June, and he gets kicked off the leadership council, and he's like a blubbering, you know, crying fool. I mean, he, when Mickey told him, nope, your guys made the rules, he was just distraught, and he worked his butt off to get back in good graces. And when he became a captain, it was like the greatest thing in the world to him, because he thought that chance had been blown. And then even in the Texas game, he came close a couple times to getting to Quinn Ewers, his former roommate. Quinn Ewers was his roommate at Ohio State, and then makes the play of a lifetime, a play that is the most iconic defensive play, at least, in Ohio State football history.
Yeah, it's the scoop and score, which you right. do. Your chapter in your book is called Scoop and Sawyer.
Yeah, that's kind of what Ohio State calls it. Yeah. And I devote an entire chapter to that one play.
And reaction. You have list the reactions of everyone
right.
to it.
So I talked to Larry Johnson, the defensive line coach. Okay, what exactly was the move he made? Mm-hmm. Talked to Jack Sawyer, obviously, you know, talked to all these people about what they were experiencing during that play. And the reactions are very different and hilarious. Some of them are just funny.
Yeah. Well, not to judge a book by its cover, but that scoop and score, scoop and Sawyer play got to be on the cover.
It's a great picture. Yeah. I had nothing to do with it, but it's a great picture. Jack Sawyer's running into the end zone, and teammates have their arms raised in celebration, and it just captures the moment perfectly.
Well, not only is Jack Sawyer the hometown boy from Pickerington, but then he also became a Pittsburgh Steeler, so I happen to enjoy that.
Right.
and he's doing really well. He's playing a lot. But also, I interviewed him on All Sides right before the draft, so we didn't know where he was going, but we had a segment interviewing Jack Sawyer, and he said, this was back in April, he said that he and the Texas quarterback, who is his former roommate, he said that the two of them saw each other at one of these draft
events.
At
the combine.
Yeah, the combine, and he said that they had an interaction, and it ended in no hard feelings. And Jack was like, "Well, at least I owe you a coffee." He was going to buy him a coffee, and then Quinn said, "No, I think you owe me a steak dinner." Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no hard feelings there.
No, it was just a great football play.
That moment basically, did that moment make up for Michigan?
You know, it's funny, and actually, it's a bigger question almost this year. You know, we've kind of talked about this, my former beat partner, Joey Kaufman, and Rob Aller, the Dispatch columnist. Like, would Ohio State fans this year prefer to beat Michigan and win the Big Ten, especially beat Michigan, and not win the national championship?
Probably.
Or lose to Michigan.
I'm just going
to
say probably.
And win the national championship.
I don't know.
I'm not sure at any other school there would be that question. It's a legitimate question here. I don't know that I have the answer, but I might kind of be leaning toward you.
Well, as a parent, we talked about this a minute ago, where there's those two missed field goals from Michigan game.
Right.
And like, as a parent, I felt so sorry for Jaden Fielding.
Yes, Jaden Fielding.
Jaden Fielding. I felt so bad. You have a part in the book about him and that. I mean, he had to have security to walk around campus, right?
Yeah, it was, you know, Jaden Fielding, his story, even how he got to Ohio State, it's crazy. I don't, you know, it's in the book. I won't go into details. So he's the kicker, and he had been dealing with an injury all year that he kind of kept quiet, an adductor muscle injury, which makes it hard to kick if you're, it's like a hip bone kind of thing.
He kept quiet from, like, the doctors?
From the media.
I see.
The doctors knew.
Oh,
he got treatment all year, but, you know, he didn't advertise it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not sure he was even interviewed last year. But so he had good days and bad days with the leg, with the hip. And that was happened to be a day it wasn't feeling great. He missed, I think it was a 34 and a 38-yard field goal. I think those are the distances. And they lost 13-10, so you could do the math.
Well, in his defense, though, if either of those would have been touchdowns, then it wouldn't have mattered, right?
True, true. Well, certainly the loss was not all on Jaden Fielding.
Right, right. I mean,
there were lots of
But reasons. It's hard not to feel that for the kicker.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, kicking is you either make it or you miss it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no gray area. And so when he went back to his apartment, people were, waiting for him to rip him.
Oh, man.
He needed to police escort to go to class the next week. But then he kicks the clinching field goal against Notre Dame, at the very end of that game after Jeremiah Smith's, great catch. And, I remember just feeling really good for the kid. I didn't know the story then. That was before I'd done the book. But, he just celebrated. He ran into, I think it was Brandon Innes. They celebrated on the field. I thought, you feel good for a kid like that that had to deal with what he had to deal with.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I want to say thank you to Willard and Elizabeth Blind from Lancaster. Thank you for your gift of support today. Support All Sides. Support 89.7 NPR News during our fall membership drive. This hour, we have a great thank you gift for Ohio State fans, and it's exclusive to WOSU Public Media members. Make a gift of $20 a month as a sustainer, and you'll get a pair of tickets to our VIP tour of Ohio Stadium. It's a $20 monthly gift right now. Don't miss this opportunity. You'll be supporting public radio and you'll get to go on a great tour. We have a limited number of tickets and you are running out of time this hour in order to get your place on this tour. Make a gift of $20 a month. That gift can be withdrawn from your checking account or charged to your credit card at WOSU.org. or 866-897-9678. And don't wait to make the gift. Give right now. We have about 17 minutes left in the hour. We're hoping to hear from 10 more people who are going to join us for the tour. 10 more gifts before the hour ends. So you're running out of time, but we want you to make this hour a great success, and you'll get a great thank you gift in return. The event is November 5th at 5, and you'll explore parts of the horseshoe that you don't get to see on game day. It's a 90-minute tour, and you'll get to see it all, including the band center and the home locker room. Make a gift and get two tickets for this special tour. Plus, you'll also get a copy of Bill's book that we've been talking about this hour, Buckeye Brotherhood. If you can't make the event, but you love the Buckeyes and love public radio, make that gift of $10 a month, and we will send you the book, Buckeye Brotherhood. This book is brand new, and it's an inside look at how Ohio State turned things around after a dramatic and unexpected fourth loss to Michigan and still ended up as national champions. They made their way through the expanded college football playoff. They beat Notre Dame in the big final game, and getting there was full of twists and turns and heartbreak and redemption. You can read about it all in this wonderful new book, Buckeye Brotherhood. So again, to get the book, it's $10 a month, and it's a great way to support public radio. But if you can give $20 a month right now, you'll get the book, and you'll get two tickets for this exclusive WOSU Public Media-only stadium tour. Don't wait. We're hoping to hear from 10 more people before the hour ends. Give right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And remember, that gift gets you a thank you gift, but more importantly, you're supporting programming on 89.7 NPR News. You know, it is no secret that the way WOSU is funded has changed. Listener support is truly, it has always been important, but it is truly now the foundation of our budget. So if you listen to All Sides every day, then you know this show is committed to producing in-depth, focused conversations on issues important to Columbus and Central Ohio. You get all your Ohio politics news on the Weekly Reporter Roundtable every Monday. You hear straight from newsmakers from all sides of the aisle. So if having a locally focused talk show is important to you, now is the time to make a gift and support the station. You can get a great thank you gift in return, but remember, supporting public radio, it'll make you feel so good today. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Bill, I wanted to ask you about another element to football that is getting more intense, sports betting, right? It's no longer just disappointed fans who are disappointed with a loss. It's now angry fans who have lost money. Have you seen this affecting the players and the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's a story I want to pursue in more in depth. But yeah, I've talked to people about it, and there's no question it adds a different layer because, you know, some of these students, players still live in dorms. Most of them live off campus or in apartments, or whatever. But yeah, I mean, sports betting has proliferated. Just it's crazy. It's not just betting on the game. You could do prop bets where does this guy gain this many yards? Does this guy throw for this many yards? And, you know, if you lose X amount of money, you want to blame the player. Well, that's not fair to the player.
Right. They're like, they're seeing them in class and they're like, if you would have gotten one more yard, I would have gotten $200.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of thing that I'm sure happens. And so I know Governor DeWine has tried to made a push to try to eliminate prop bets, which are those kind of bets, not just on the outcome of the game, but the little bets within the game, which might help if that passes. That might help because players won't get kind of targeted. I mean, look, Ohio State's played very well. I think they've covered the spread in every game or almost every game.
Yeah.
I don't really follow that stuff very closely. But, you know, I think people who've bet on Ohio State this year have probably come out ahead. But, look, betting is it's designed in the long haul for you to lose. That's the way it works. And so I hope people who do bet view it as entertainment and not like, you know, they'll take it out on the people who are, you know, or the players. It's just wrong to do that.
I want to say thank you to Elizabeth Lawless from Columbus. So we have 9 more to go this hour. We have 14 minutes remaining in the hour, and we're looking for 9 more gifts to call this hour a great success. You can be a part of that right now, and you can join us for a stadium tour. It is a VIP stadium tour just for WOSU members. You have to give right now to get a pair of tickets to this exclusive event on Wednesday, November 5th. It's 2 tickets for $20 a month as a sustainer. And you'll also receive a copy of the brand new book, Buckeye Brotherhood. So make that gift right now and you will join Elizabeth, $20 a month as a sustaining member or a one-time gift of $240. Tickets for this event are limited, so you're running out of time to get your spot on the tour. And you'll be supporting all sides with that gift as well, and you'll get a great experience. You'll be surrounded by Buckeye fans who also happen to love public radio. And on the tour, you will also learn a lot about Ohio Stadium. Plus, you'll get the book and the tour, and it's a great gift to give the Buckeye fan in your life. And you'll be supporting public radio in the process. So join us now, $20 a month or a one-time gift of $240. As a regular listener to All Sides, you know we bring you a diverse range of topics. During our most recent season of Untangled, we spent 5 weeks untangling the cost of learning. If a show like that is important to you, we're asking you to support this show today. An in-depth series like Untangled would not be possible without your support. If you appreciate this kind of journalism and you also appreciate hearing hour-long shows about Buckeye football, then make a gift right now, WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Thank you to Linda Moldor in Dublin. Thanks, Linda. That means 8 more to go this hour. And we have 12 minutes remaining, so we definitely can meet this goal when we hear from you. If you can't make the tour, you can give $10 a month and get a copy of Buckeye Brotherhood as your gift as well. So, Bill, in your book, you have a chapter on faith because this is a pretty religious group of players. I mean, last year, I don't know if it's the same this year, but the chapter starts with a pretty compelling story about G. Scott Jr. Can you talk a little bit about the faith of last year's Buckeye team?
Yeah, it was really important. A lot of players showed up at the hotel where they have training camp, where they stay for training camp, wearing Jesus 1 T-shirts. Faith was a very big part of that team. G. Scott Jr.'s story is really one of the more remarkable ones in the book. He came to Ohio State as a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. He decided along with his family that tight end was a better long-term option for him. But it was a struggle. You have to change your body. You have to become heavier. He didn't play that much and didn't play all that well. And he was a difficult person in the Woody Hayes Center. Challenged everybody. Just was a pain. He got disenchanted and decided, I'm done. I'm out of here. And just got in his car, skipped practice, started driving towards Seattle, his home, gets to Indiana, rural Indiana, and stops at some convenience store. Somebody notices him, thinks it's suspicious. They call the police. The policeman comes, and as G. Scott told me, here I am. I've got dreadlocks. I've got a tinted car. You know, look, this could have gone badly. Instead, the policeman just listened to him, said, okay, what's going on with you? And G. Scott, for whatever reason, felt comfortable with this policeman and bared his soul, said, I'm not doing well at Ohio State. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of that. And the policeman, fortunately, was very sympathetic, actually took G. Scott on his rounds with him that night, got pizza with him and his son.
Wow.
And then convinced him to go back to Ohio State. You know, look, life's not so bad there, and go do it. And G. Scott comes back to Ohio State. He's scared to death about what Ryan Day is going to say. He skipped the practice. Ryan Day could have kicked him off the team. Instead, Ryan Day, again, with a mental health background, said, look, I'm here to help. Whatever I can do to help you, you know, I'll do. And G. Scott's father, I interviewed him, and he told me Ryan Day, I believe, saved my son's life. G. Scott comes back to the team, becomes a key player on that team. If you remember in the Oregon game, the very first offensive play was a 30-yard pass to G. Scott. That started the ball rolling, and Ohio State just, you know, destroyed Oregon in that game. So, and he was the one at the end of the meeting, the Michigan meeting, that gave a prayer, said a prayer, and players told me that they were, the team was in tears. They were all just like locked at arms. And it's one of the, one of my favorite stories in the book was the G. Scott kind of redemption thing.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, just Travion Henderson had a kind of a similar story. There are lots of players on that team that, that had that kind of journey.
Do you feel like, well, obviously you're saying that faith bonded them. I mean, right. Is that a part of the, talk to me, I guess, about the title, Buckeye Brotherhood. The players all talk about this brotherhood.
Yeah. And it's not a new thing. Ohio State's had that for forever. Urban Meyer told me that when he was a GA there in 1986, that that was a thing. But I think that this team, I mean, I didn't have a title going into this. I just was going to write a book, and the title usually...
You name it Scoop and Sawyer, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been, I have no idea. But the more players talked about it's a brotherhood, it's a brotherhood, it was like, that's obvious. That's, this is obviously the appropriate title for this book, because in the end, especially after Michigan, when the whole world was against him, even, you know, they came to the Tennessee game at the Shoe, and it would almost felt in some ways like a road game, especially before the crowd really filled in. There was a lot of orange, and they were like, wait a minute, where are we, kind of thing. Tennessee fans had said they were going to turn this into Neyland Stadium North. I mean, it was, that was a, that was the tipping point, because if they had lost that game, I don't know that Ryan Day would be here right now, because he wouldn't have gotten fired. But I think the Day family was like, this is not worth it. But then they go on this incredible run. So, brotherhood to me was, it just kind of was obvious. It wasn't something I thought of. It was like, this is just what it's got to be.
Is there any pushback from players who are maybe non-Christian? I mean, is everyone feel, does the brotherhood supersede maybe the, that part?
Yeah, I mean, and look, religion is a very touchy subject. And I asked Ryan Day about it and Will Howard about it, and they both said, look, this is not forced. Nobody's coerced to do this. If you, if you're not a believer, or you're a believer in a different religion, that's fine. That's fine. But there was a religious bond among certainly the core players, and was a big part of what helped them kind of stick together.
This is the fall membership drive, and you're running out of time to make your gift today. We are looking for 8 more people to join us this hour. You can make a gift in any amount just to show your support for this hour right now of All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. But if $20 a month fits into your budget, then you can get a copy of Bill's book, plus attend a very special VIP tour of Ohio Stadium. Give right now at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. We have a little over 6 minutes left in the hour. We're looking for 8 more gifts. We can meet this goal when we hear from you. When you give $10 a month, you'll get a copy of Bill Rabinowitz's newest book. It's brand new. It just came out, Buckeye Brotherhood, How Ohio State Navigated a New World to Win a National Championship, which is an essential read for any Ohio State fan. Get the book for $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 and support public radio in the process. Give at WOSU.org or call us, 866-897-9678. But if you really love the Buckeyes, then you need to attend our special VIP tour of Ohio Stadium. Give $20 a month for 2 tickets on this exclusive tour. It is just for WOSU members. Join us on Wednesday, November 5th at 5. It's $20 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $240. And then you and a guest get to attend the event, plus you'll get a copy of the book that we've been talking about this hour. Read the book and reminisce about the national championship from last year. Go to WOSU.org and make your gift right now. You're running out of time. We have 5 minutes left in the hour. Perhaps you listen to All Sides often. If you do, then you know that we work hard to bring you a diverse range of topics. We talk about the news of the day. We talk about long-term trends. You're going to hear it all on 89.7 NPR News. Our goal over time is to bring you all sides of the issues that matter to you. That is something that only happens on public radio. Support us now. Join Mark Lockwood. Thank you, Mark. Mark from Columbus. That means 7 more to go this hour. We're going to meet this goal right now. And we have a spot for you on our VIP tour of Ohio Stadium. You and a guest can attend this exclusive WOSU member event. It's going to be a great evening. I will be there. There will be a 90-minute tour, including everything from the band center to the home locker room, and your gift supports public radio. Make this drive a success. Give now at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Bill, I wanted to ask you about Ohio State fans. They're everywhere. You just mentioned how Tennessee tried to kind of take over Ohio Stadium by buying up a bunch of tickets, but you travel with the team and you have for years. Are there always Buckeye fans at every game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes depending on the year, the team, the opponent, there are more Ohio State fans in the visiting stadium than there are, you know, the home team's fans. I mean, last year at the Northwestern game, they played at Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
And it was 90% scarlet and about 10% purple. I felt bad for the Northwestern players, honestly.
Oh, wow. So do you see that everywhere? I mean, do they even travel all the way to Oregon?
There were fans at Washington. Mm-hmm. There were fans at Oregon. Buckeye Nation is the largest fan base in the country. I think it's the largest for any sport in the country.
So how'd the Tennessee fans get in here?
Secondary market.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of unhappy Ohio State fans after the Michigan game.
I see.
And they're like, done with this team. I'm putting them up for sale. These tickets up for sale and can make a lot of money from Tennessee fans. And it was in some ways disheartening to the Ohio State, you know, fans or Ohio State players to walk out there and see all that orange. It also inspired them, like, okay, we're going to show you. And they did.
So let's talk a little bit about what is still to come. So this is a bye week coming up, and then what happens next?
They play Penn State, which at the start of the year you'd figure that's the game other than Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Penn State's lost 4 in a row, so what kind of motivation are they going to have? They lost their quarterback. They obviously lost their coach. It's still a dangerous game because Penn State's talented, but, you know, they're – Which Penn State team is going to show up?
Pardon me. Is it home or away?
It's home. Here.
Oh yeah, because they're going to all wear T-shirts and it's a noon game. All right, I got it.
And then, you know, there's really they play Purdue, UCLA at Rutgers, which really shouldn't challenge them at all. And then, of course, the big one at Michigan.
All right, so that's what we have coming up. And this is our membership drive. You are running out of time. We have 3 minutes left in the hour. Make a gift right now. When you give $20 a month as a sustainer, you will get 2 tickets to a behind-the-scenes tour of Ohio Stadium. This is a VIP tour just for WOSU members. Have you ever wanted to see what happens behind the scenes? Now is your chance. We're hosting this WOSU exclusive tour on Wednesday, November 5th at 5. And you'll get to go on the tour, you and a guest. Plus, you'll get a copy of the brand new book, Buckeye Brotherhood, by our guest today, Bill Rabinowitz. It's a lot of alliteration there, Bill. Buckeye Brotherhood Buckeye Brotherhood from Bill. Make a gift of $20 a month to secure your spot on this special stadium tour. You and a guest will get to join us. You'll get a copy of the book, $20 a month as a sustaining member or a one-time gift of $240. If you can't make it to the tour, make a gift right now of $10 a month and you'll get the book. This book tells the story of the 2024 season that changed it all, the national championship season. But if you can join us for the stadium tour, we hope to see you there. Give right now. We are running out of time this hour. This is the last couple of minutes in the hour. Give at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Bill Rabinowitz, longtime sports journalist. You retired from a 26-year career with the Columbus Dispatch and now writes on Substack your brand new book, Buckeye Brotherhood, How Ohio State Navigated a New World to Win a National Championship. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Amy. It's been a pleasure.
And it's time for you to make that gift. This is our fall membership drive. We are offering a scarlet and gray thank you gift that is perfect for the OSU fan in your life. You and a guest will join us for a VIP tour of Ohio Stadium, and you'll receive a copy of the book Buckeye Brotherhood. Join us on November 5th at 5 for this fun and exciting tour and a one-of-a-kind experience for WOSU members. Give now at $20 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $240. Don't wait. This is the end of the hour. Give right now. This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus. Thank you for listening to All Sides today and every day. Support public radio. If $20 a month fits into your budget, we have this great thank you gift, 2 tickets for the tour, plus the book, $10 a month for the book by itself. Support public radio, 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. And thanks.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.